This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Although the 2020 general election won't be until the fall, that hasn't stopped campaigns from bombarding Wisconsinites. Between the ads, the emails, and the phone calls, there's really just one resounding message: vote. For some of us, that's easy. We bring out our Wisconsin driver's license to a polling place where we're already registered, we sign the poll book, and get the ballot. But what if your ID doesn't have your current address because you don't have a current address? Or what if you have a felony conviction? Can you still vote? Voting laws change from state to state, which causes a lot of confusion. Karen Rocker knows this all too well. She's a senior staff attorney at the ACLU of Wisconsin, and she specializes on issues related to voter rights. She joins me in studio to answer some basic questions about voting and starts by explaining how to register.
You have to generally provide a document with your name and address. And there's a long list of kinds of documents you can use. So it's to prove where you live. That's the point of voter registration. So when you go to the polls on election day, if you aren't already registered at the address you live on election day, you should bring a proof of residence document with you. And you can register. You can go in the registration line. Wisconsin has for decades allowed people to register at the polls, which is not true in a lot of states. So first you register, you prove where you live. Then, in order to actually vote, you have to prove who you are, and that's where voter ID comes in. For voter ID, there's a list of certain kinds of IDs. For most people, it will be a Wisconsin driver's license or a Wisconsin state ID card. But there are some other kinds of IDs that you can use as well. And that's to prove who you are. They don't care about the address on the ID because you're not proving where you live. You're proving who you are. And so you just have to bring one of the appropriate kinds of ID. They look at it, make sure the picture, quote unquote, reasonably resembles you and that the name is similar. If you use a nickname to vote and you have a full name on an ID, for example, you should be fine. Once they check your ID, you will have to sign the poll book, and then you get a ballot. And there are different ways ballots get marked, but generally, Wisconsin frequently uses paper ballots. You either fill in a circle or complete an arrow, and there are a few different ways to do it. But the really critical issues that people have to remember is prove where you live to register and prove who you are with voter ID.
And that gets to one of the big questions I have. If you're somebody who's experiencing homelessness right now, if you're somebody who doesn't have a stable address for whatever reason, maybe you're homeless, maybe you're a student, maybe you're someone who is between houses, what should you do?
So there are a few different ways to do it. There are very specific provisions, actually, that the Wisconsin Elections Commission has set up for homeless voters. And they allow you to get a letter from any provider, public or private, that serves people who are homeless. So it doesn't have to be an overnight shelter. If you go to a meal site and the meal site is willing to provide these letters, or, you know, a church that has an emergency shelter or places like that, they can provide a letter on their letterhead and, you know, identifying you, and you can use that address as your voting address. Now, if you're not in touch with any agency at all, you know, say you're living on someone's couch, we work with Wisconsin Election Protection, and we can usually work with people to figure out ways to help them to register, but the sooner the better. Similarly, to get the actual ID, they do mail them. So you need to have some kind of address, but, you know, if you're staying at someone else's house and you can get verification of that, or I believe they will also mail them to shelters and so on. And we will work individually or refer you to folks who do work individually with voters to address that.
If you're a student, are there other rules that kind of, do you go under different kinds of rules or is it the same situation?
So students, and let's just say we're talking about college students because none of this applies to high school students. Let's first talk about registration, then we'll talk about ID because, again, there are certain things for students. So college students have a choice. They can use as their residence the residence they used before they went to college. Usually that'll be your parents' address. or as long as you've been at college more than 10 days by election day, you can register and vote using your college address. Obviously, you can't do both. Even if one is in a different state, you have to pick one, but you are allowed to decide which one to use. So a lot of students do register and vote at their campus address because it's easier. For students who live in apartments or things like that, again, they will often have a lease or utility bills or things like that with their address. For students who live in dorms, the colleges at this point will provide a list of students who are in dorms, and students who are living in dorms, that list will be at the polls, so they can register using the dorm list or any of the other allowable documents. One of the things is that students, for example, or anyone else, public university records. So if you go to a public university and your class schedule or your grades or whatever has your address on it, that counts as a registration document too. So students have a lot of options. So do federal financial aid letters, as long as they have your current address that you want to use for voting on them. For voter ID, college students can use the same things as other voters, a Wisconsin driver's license, a Wisconsin state ID card. Again, I can't emphasize enough, it doesn't matter what the address on it is. You do not have to change your ID or driver's license to match, but it does have to be a Wisconsin license. We do sometimes run into problems with students or other voters who think they can use a Minnesota license or an Illinois license. That will not count. You can't use your regular college student ID as voter ID, but most of the universities will issue a special voting ID to students who need it. And that's basically a 2-year ID instead of a 4-year ID, and it meets certain other requirements. And then you also have to show proof that you're enrolled in the university or college.
Do you have to do anything like deregistering yourself in another state, or just voting here, is that going to be enough?
No. I mean, there's no law or requirement that you unregister if you move. You know, there are various mechanisms that tend to match data, try to clean things up. But really, the laws just don't vote in two places. It's not about where you register, because people move all the time, and not just students. Lots of people move. Snowbirds move. You know, people move and decide they want to register, obviously, in their new voting locations. They buy a house and they want to, you know, register. There is no legal requirement, certainly not in Wisconsin, that you, like, unregister. As I said, obviously, you vote only in the location where you live and you only vote once. And that's true even if you own property in more than one location. Every now and then you get a situation, and it's pretty rare, but where someone might own property in two different counties or like a vacation house or something and think they can vote at both addresses, they can't do that.
Just once.
Just once.
So if you're someone who, let's say, doesn't really speak English that well or has a little bit of difficulty reading English and you need accommodations, how can you get those? Where should you go?
So, again, a couple of things. If you live in the city of Milwaukee is required. There's certain federal laws, and because of the number of Spanish-speaking people here, the city of Milwaukee actually has to provide bilingual ballots. Most of their materials are bilingual, but they also provide bilingual poll workers at the voting sites with larger concentrations of Spanish-speaking voters. Other languages or other cities which are not legally required to provide bilingual poll workers, although they certainly can if they want to, you're allowed to bring someone to assist you in voting. That's also true if you're, like, physically unable to mark the ballot. So you can bring someone who can help you translate or can help you in marking the ballot. The records will reflect that someone came to assist you, but anyone other than your employer or your union is allowed to come in and assist you with that.
Is that also true if you're someone who is, let's say, blind, if you're someone who can't see the ballot?
Sure, yeah. Any voter who requires assistance because they're unable on their own to mark the ballots, yes.
If you're having difficulty accessing just the building, let's say, your polling location, like mine is in the middle of a park, and I've thought to myself, if I were in a wheelchair, this would be difficult. Getting from, let's say, the bus to this location would be hard. What should you do? How can you navigate that?
For starters, the polling locations are supposed to be accessible. I know that they are not all, but, you know, this has been an issue for a long time. It's better than it used to be, but we know it's not perfect. One option is to do what's called curbside voting. Now, I've never heard of it with someone getting off a bus and who can't get to the location, and I'm not sure what would happen then, but say someone drives you to the polls, or you can drive to the polls, you can call down, or if you drive with someone, send someone down to the polling place and say that we have someone who wants to do curbside voting. And the poll workers are required to come up to the car and allow you to vote from that location. And it's, again, a specific procedure called curbside voting.
Okay. But if you're someone who is, let's say, alone,
you should be able to call downstairs. I would encourage people who think that might be an issue to do one of a couple of things. One, there's early voting all over the place. The early voting sites are generally larger and more accessible, and it's usually for several weeks before Election Day. Otherwise, before you leave the house, I would try calling the polling place or call the municipal clerk and let them know that that's what's happening. Maybe they can help contact the polling place. I hope all the municipal clerks don't rise up and say, no, don't call us. But I mean, I would say try to check in with someone. Or if you get to the polling place, you know, there are going to be people walking in and out of polling places. You can ask anybody to help you with that.
So this is a question that I know varies by state. But if you're someone who was convicted of a felony, are you able to vote in the state of Wisconsin?
Once you are off paper.
What does that mean?
Sure. So when you are convicted of a felony, you cannot vote while you are in prison, and you cannot vote while you are on probation, parole, or extended supervision. But once you've completed your sentence, and it is called off paper, you've basically been discharged from your sentence, you are automatically allowed to vote in Wisconsin. You do not have to get a pardon or permission from the governor or any of those kinds of things. It's automatic. You do have to go back in and register again to vote. Even if you registered before you were convicted, you will have been taken off the voter rolls. So you have to go and register again, but you are automatically eligible to vote again. Your rights are restored, and lots of people don't know that. They think if they had a felony 20 years ago and they've been off paper and a model citizen for the last 10 years, that they still can't vote. And that's just not true.
If you're someone who's in prison or in jail and you don't have a felony conviction, are you able to vote?
Yes, absentee. So what that means is if you're already registered, that certainly makes it easier. You can mail in a request. There are timelines, but you can mail in a request for an absentee ballot, and they are required to mail it to you in your prison or jail. Generally, prisoners are much more likely to have felonies, but in a lot of jails or house of corrections. You may have people who have been convicted of misdemeanors. You also may have people awaiting trial who have not yet been convicted of anything. And if you have not had your trial yet and not yet been found guilty or not pled guilty, then you are not yet convicted. So you can ask for an absentee ballot. If you haven't yet registered, you can do a mail-in registration with proof of residence up to 20 days before Election Day. If it's closer than that, it may be difficult to register because the jail doesn't have to, like, let you out to go to the polls to register at that time.
What should you do if you feel like your right to vote is being impeded in some way due to accessibility? Let's say you're in jail. Let's say you have tried calling people, but you can't get a hold of anyone and you can't get into your polling location. What should you do then?
So I would encourage people, and I would encourage people to do it early. Go to Facebook, if you have Facebook, and like Wisconsin Election Protection. Those exact three words, Wisconsin Election Protection. It is nonpartisan. We provide very good and accurate legal advice. It's lawyers who are very careful about what information we share, and we do respond to questions. You can also tweet at EPWISCO, at EPWISCO. Same thing, Wisconsin Election Protection. On and around Election Day, there's also a national hotline that will funnel you over to attorneys in Wisconsin, and that's 866-OUR-VOTE. 866-OUR-VOTE. They do have hotlines in other languages. I don't have those phone numbers with me right now. But if you call 866-OUR-VOTE, you will be connected to a group of Wisconsin attorneys who will help you troubleshoot. We have been doing this for a very long time. Sometimes we do call clerks to intercede. Sometimes we just explain things to voters and then they can go back to the poll workers and explain it. You know, we have a lot of different ways to try to help.
Karen Rucker is a senior staff attorney at the ACLU of Wisconsin, and she specializes on issues relating to voting rights. You can find more of our conversations with people from the ACLU of Wisconsin at WUWM.com. After the break, we begin our series on climate change and how it's impacting you. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee's NPR.